are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. The D'Angelo Russell era has officially begun. And to mixed reviews after a hard-fought loss to the defending champion Toronto Raptors on Monday night. The Raptors are now winners of 15 consecutive games after the Wolves ultimately fell by a final score of 137-126. They put up a fight. We'll talk a lot about that game today. The key takeaways as a whole for the Wolves and their new look team, as well as we'll talk for a few moments specifically about D'Angelo Russell, his debut, the good, the bad, the ugly, what pretty much a microcosm of what D'Angelo Russell is going to be for the Wolves. We'll get a talk for a while about that. We'll also look at studs and duds from the game overall, as we always do. And that'll be our show for today. So first off, a quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, Monday's game was extremely entertaining, to say the least. The first half ended with a score of 75-74. So if that doesn't give you a sense for just how fast-paced this first half was. And it actually wasn't that there wasn't defense in the first half. Both teams, I mean, there was some sloppy offense, I guess. There were just so many possessions. There were a lot of the Raptors threw the ball out of bounds. It seemed like once every six times down the floor. And the Wolves had some sloppy live ball turnovers. We'll get a lot more into that here in a moment. But neither team was awful defensively in the first half. It's just the offense was unbelievable. A credit to the Wolves. I mean, the Raptors came into the game with the league's second best defensive rating, and the Wolves hung 75 on them in the first half, the most any team has scored in a single half against the Raptors this season. The Wolves, of course, gave up 74 themselves and only were up by one at halftime after leading by, I think they were up double figures at some point in the second quarter. But the defense, again, wasn't as awful as the 74 suggests. The biggest problem that the Wolves had, and this was in both halves, but the biggest reason why they gave up 74 in the first half was live ball turnovers and giving up transition points. The Raptors had 11 points in transition by halftime. You look at the, well, we'll get into the box score here in a minute, but overall, just kind of like a quick summary of what happened in this game. D'Angelo Russell started hot, made a couple of mid-range shots, made a nice move at the rim, hit a layup in traffic, had a couple of threes. He had a really deep one when the player guarding him, I can't remember if it was Van Vliet or Lowry, but whoever was guarding him was looking around waiting for a screen because the Wolves had just been running pick and rolls almost every time down the floor. And as soon as the defender kind of turned his head to the side, Russell popped from about 30 feet and drained a three, his first three-point attempt as a Wolf. It was 3 of 4 from outside the arc on the night, Russell was. Towns was in the pick and roll primarily early on the offensive end of the floor, had a couple of mid post touches where he actually was essentially initiating the offense from the mid post with Russell and others cutting and spotting up. And it mostly worked out. He was mostly getting double teamed as usual. He's passing really adeptly, being smart with his passes. Had a couple of opportunities where he could have forced up a shot and it wouldn't have been an awful decision, but found open shooters, open cutters. Minnesota missed a couple of layups at the rim. Juancho Hernan Gomez missed one really early in the game. Malik Beasley missed one at the rim early in the game. There were just some, I mean, Towns easily could have had another triple-double. He finished 3 assists shy, but Towns was being really unselfish, and the Wolves were getting him also plenty of touches in the offense early. Towns and Russell, the offense ran through them. That meant that Malik Beasley didn't get very many early touches, and this is coming off a game when he was scorching hot, and without Russell, Beasley was getting every opportunity to score in Saturday's win over the Clippers, so that'll be something to keep an eye on. We'll talk a little bit more about that later as well, because he's going to be the third option on this team. That's just how they're structured. And Hernan Gomez and whoever the fifth wing is, and in most cases, Josh Okogie, they're the lower usage options that are just going to be asked to hit open shots. And in Okogie's case, cut to the rim, stand in the quarter, hit open shots. Hernan Gomez can spot up from anywhere and he'll get a couple post touches a game. But Malik Beasley is going to be the third option. It's what he can do with those touches. Minnesota only ran one play that I can remember for Beasley in the first quarter, and it was after he really hadn't touched the ball much other than a missed layup. And it was a stagger screen where he got a chance to shoot, catch and shoot from beyond the arc, really at the top of the key. And he missed it, but it was another, I mean, he's got such a quick release that the Wolves are undoubtedly going to run a lot more plays to get him open and allow him the opportunity to spot up and catch and shoot, because that is his strength. And he doesn't need to be putting the ball on the floor as much, but it did seem like he was at some point in the first half, it was like, okay, I'm not getting my touches. And when he got the ball, even if the Raptors were up on him, which the Raptors are really good at contesting opponent 3-point shots, which for the game, the Wolves actually shut the ball really well from beyond the arc. But, you know, Beasley had somebody in his grill, and so he pump faked and went to the rim, which is great. It's what he should do, but it's not something that he does a lot of. And so unless he improves a lot in that category, those possessions are always going to kind of feel like the Wolves are forcing the action instead of getting an open shot for Russell or Towns, or letting Towns attack down low, or getting an open shot for someone else on the perimeter. But at any rate, that's something to keep an eye on. Overall, though, the offense showed just how dynamic it can be in the first half, and even the Raptors couldn't slow the Wolves down. I think it kind of surprised Toronto. They apparently didn't watch film from the Wolves game on Saturday. At halftime, clearly Nick Nurse, the Raptors coach, told his team, "Hey guys, we're the defending champs. We should be playing better than this." The Raptors ratcheted up their defensive intensity, had tons of deflections, loose balls, timely offensive rebounding. They only finished with 9 offensive rebounds, but it felt like they had double that. There were some lucky bounces too. The Raptors also committed a ton of fouls and just didn't care. Minnesota has struggled from the free throw line this year. They went 30 of 35 from the line to the Raptors only shooting 18 of 23 from the charity stripe. Toronto committed 26 fouls to the Wolves 19. Clearly, the Raptors decided to deploy the strategy of the refs can't call all the fouls, so let's be ultra aggressive, get away with what we can. And of course, the second part of their strategy was to complain incessantly after they were called for fouls, which again was only like 60% of the fouls they actually committed. It's really fascinating. For Wolves fans who get tired of Karl Anthony Towns complaining, watch Kyle Lowry and Nick Nurse after every foul call. They're apoplectic, and almost every time it was a correct call. But at any rate, the Raptors had an 11-0 run in the middle of the third quarter. The Wolves chipped away. And that was kind of the beginning of the end, or so it seemed. The Wolves were actually down 12 at the start of the fourth, but then got back within two. Karl Anthony Towns and James Johnson went on a little run together. Johnson made a deep three. Karl Anthony Towns had a traditional three-point play, made a layup, made the free throw on the end one. And then after another Raptors turnover, James Johnson hit another three, got the Wolves to within two. Raptors timeout, turnover, and then James Johnson forced a three. For some reason, thought that he was the hot hand after making two threes in a row, forced a three, got blocked, and then got the ball back and committed a turnover on a pass. The Raptors scored, stopped the Wolves on the other end. There was a coach's challenge. Culver was fouled at the rim. They decided to call what would have been the fifth foul on Kyle Lowry. Upon review, the Wolves broadcast on Fox Sports North correctly identified that the Lowry foul call was 50-50 because he got some arm, but also a lot of ball. But then also he was tripped. I think it was by Patrick McCaw, was tripped in the paint. But for some reason they reversed the call, took the foul away from Lowry, didn't necessitate anyone else, and did a jump ball at center court, which the Wolves won, but still Culver would have been at the line. And I mean, he's not a good free throw shooter, but maybe he makes one there. And that would have pulled the Wolves into a possession again, and there would have been 5 fouls on Kyle Lowry. It was a dubious overturn given the criteria that has been used all season, and that was a frustrating part of the turning point. Certainly not the only turning point. Then from that point forward, the Raptors were unbelievable. Basically, it felt like they scored every time they touched the ball. They put the Wolves in some difficult situations, getting D'Angelo Russell switched onto some guys one-on-one, onto Siakam, onto OG Anunoby. And the Raptors basically scored at will. The Wolves made a little push at the end. After the Raptors had pushed the lead to 19, the Wolves got within 11 before ultimately losing. But generally speaking, an impressive performance by the Wolves. Obviously, the defense needs to tighten up. The obvious caveat there is the Raptors are really good. They're a 40-win team already. They've won 15 games in a row. They have one of the league's best offenses and defenses. And down two in the early stages of the fourth quarter and losing by 11 to the defending champs on the road, defending champs on a 15-game winning streak and at full strength. I guess they were missing Marc Gasol, but that was it. I mean, that's not a bad loss. There's plenty of silver linings here. So interesting game to be sure. Next up, we're going to talk specifically about D'Angelo Russell and what he brought to the table in this game in his Timberwolves debut. Okay, before we get into D'Lo, I did want to mention the opportunity to advertise locally here on Locked On Wolves. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Wolves is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Minnesota Timberwolves fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. And not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Timberwolves fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit LockedOnPodcast/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit LockedOnPodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, let's talk about D'Angelo Russell. So D'Lo was awesome early in this game. He made a couple of three of contested mid-range shots early. Was deadly from the mid-range. Hit his first open three-point attempt on the quick trigger. Showed a quick release in multiple situations, both in the mid-range and from three-point range. He did make that shot in the paint. It was kind of a pick your poison with Towns, which is exactly what teams are going to deal with consistently. Towns setting a screen and rolling or popping, Russell working around that screen and probing, more often than not shooting the ball, but also being a really adept passer when he chooses to pass the ball. He did have 6 turnovers to just 5 assists in this game, and that can be an issue for him at sometimes. But Russell is a very talented passer. That's one of the things when he was at Ohio State, I remember just noting the insane passes in the floor, the court vision that that Russell has, the basketball IQ. He's one of those guys who does see the whole floor. He doesn't always make the right decision, and that's part of being a 23-year-old point guard and still kind of learning to pick your spots. But at any rate, the good was on display early. And also a couple moments early in the third quarter, he had a couple of tough three-pointers and was really solid. Also, well, I guess let's talk about some of the issues first before we get into some of the stuff that was up and down. He shot a couple too many mid-range attempts, and that's something that Russell's going to do, and the Wolves are going to make exceptions for him because he is so good from the mid-range. But it is a little bit too much. He did only have one shot attempt at the rim that I can remember, which was the make early in the game. It was a nice take. It was on a cut, and it was a little bit of a double clutch and made it at the rim. Actually, no, that one was off the dribble. He did have another opportunity where he cut baseline, got a pass, was under the rim, and kicked it out to an open three-point shooter. It was probably the right call. He was kind of under the basket in a tough spot. But he only got to the rim off the bounce one time in the game that I can recall. And again, that's what you get with D'Angelo Russell. He doesn't get to the free throw line a lot. He attempted 4 free throws and made them all, but they were fouls on the perimeter when the Raptors were in the penalty late in the first half. And then he had a couple of lazy perimeter passes, which is something that isn't excusable. I mean, you're going to deal with some mid-range shots. You're going to deal with less attempts at the rim from D'Angelo Russell than you're going to see from some other players. And that's kind of all baked in, and he's good enough for mid-range and good enough beyond the arc to kind of make up for that. But there were at least 2 really bad, lazy perimeter passes in the second half that cost the Wolves in transition. And he also had the ball stolen from him once just outright by Fred VanVleet. And those were 3 of his 6 turnovers. One was kind of he banged knees with somebody on the Raptors and hopped around and got called for a travel. And that's going to happen, I guess. But most of his turnovers were just kind of lazy, inexcusable turnovers that can absolutely be cut out of his game. And suddenly, you know, if he's got 5 assists and 2 or 3 turnovers, it looks a lot better. But the 6 turnovers was not ideal. He also notably did not have any rebounds in this game. I mean, he's not a great rebounder for a point guard, but that hopefully there aren't too many zeros. The Wolves also got 0 rebounds from Jordan McLaughlin in 16 minutes. So 0 rebounds total from the point guard position for the Wolves in this game. And that also speaks a lot to the Raptors' talent, despite the fact they essentially play 2 point guards for most of the game in Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet. Lowry had 7 rebounds. VanVleet only had 2. But the Raptors got rebounding from their backcourt. 9 rebounds to 0 was the point guard rebounding total essentially. And the Raptors won that category, and a big part of that was due to Russell's inability to grab any rebounds. In the mixed bag category, if you will, it was the defense. In the first half, Russell actually was pretty solid on defense. He had a couple of nice wall ups when he got switched onto guys down near the rim. And actually the Raptors missed a couple of shots over him. They made a couple of shots. He picked up the ball decently on the perimeter. There were a couple instances where he deferred and didn't pick up the ball handler in transition, which is something that he's been called out for doing in the past. I think in some instances that's okay if there's a Josh Okogie standing nearby and OG Anunoby's got the ball. I'd rather have Okogie pick him up anyways a half step later than D'Angelo Russell picking him up a half step earlier. But there was a couple instances where that was notable. In the first half, he did have a couple of strips defensively. One led directly to a steal. He stripped somebody off the ball who is cutting past him or dribbling past him. Wolves got a fast break the other way. He did have another strip where he got beat on defense, but stripped the ball off the leg of, I think it was Fred VanVleet, out of bounds. So a couple of plays where he showed nice hands and good quickness and the ability to react quickly. But unfortunately, in both those instances, he was kind of in a position where he wasn't in an ideal guarding position and kind of made the most of it. So it was certainly a mixed bag there on defense. The second half was much worse for Russell. He ended up switched on to Pascal Siakam a couple of times late in the game. That didn't end well, where he was on an island essentially one-on-one and just got beat into the paint, got back down into the paint, got beat straight up off the dribble by a bigger wing. Those are situations the Wolves really can't let themselves get into. You're okay with Russell guarding the pick and roll if he's going to try and play hard. That you can win. You can make the playoffs with Russell as your point guard, obviously, playing mediocre defense. But you can't win if he's consistently getting isolated on bigger, dynamic offensive wings, and the Wolves will need to really guard against that moving forward. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. Overall, I would say this was a decent debut for D'Angelo Russell. It was a really good kind of sampling of what fans can expect to see from D'Angelo Russell over the course of the season. In terms of dynamic offense, really good three-point shooting, some nice passes, some dangerous passes, some spotty defense, and overall, a generally positive impact on the game. I should also point out that Russell was a minus 22 for the game, and Jordan McLaughlin was a plus 11. Those guys directly split the point guard minutes and weren't on the floor together at all. So the on-off there, Russell on the court was a minus 22. Off the court, the Wolves were a plus 11. And I don't know that that's directly to how well Jordan McLaughlin played, although he did have 5 assists in only 16 minutes to 1 turnover, whereas Russell had 5 assists, 6 turnovers in 32 minutes. And McLaughlin played solid defense, and that's more a function of him just playing really hard than anything else. But that'll be something to keep an eye on. I don't love putting too much stock into single game plus minus, but when it's that clear at one position, I think it's important to note. And therein lies some of the knock against Russell is, does he give too much on defense? Does he give up too much on defense to make up for his offense? Generally, I would say that the good outweighs the bad. However, when you also commit 6 turnovers, then that starts to eat away at some of the good. And a big part of that minus 22 was those live ball turnovers on the perimeter, those bad passes on the perimeter getting stripped. At least 3 of his 6 turnovers were plays he made on the wrong side, on the plus side of the floor for the Wolves outside the arc. He was making a bad pass or turning it over off the dribble. And that led to a lot of points in the fast break from the Raptors. And that's a big reason why he was a minus 22 in this game and Jordan McLaughlin was a plus 11. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. One game, not going to freak out about it, but I think this was a lot of what you're going to see from Russell, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all in one game. So in some ways, it's kind of nice. You got a snapshot of the whole thing. All right, lastly here, we're going to talk studs and duds for the game. We'll take a peek ahead at the rest of the week. And that will be our final segment today. Okay, let's talk individual studs and duds from Wolves Raptors on Monday night. In the studs category, Karl Anthony Towns was all around the best player on the floor for the Wolves in this one. He did play a team high 37 minutes, had 23 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. He had 5 turnovers, but that's outweighed by the 7 assists and also his offensive efficiency. He scored 23 points on only 13 shots. He was 3 of 6 beyond the arc, but only 2 of 7 inside the arc. Didn't get a couple of foul calls he probably should have gotten. Still was 10 of 12 from the free throw line, which the Wolves will take. But he could have been at the free throw line more frequently. The undersized Raptors were all over him, double teaming him constantly. And per usual, he did not get as many foul calls as he should have gotten at the rim. He actually did a pretty good job of not overly complaining. I think that's certainly something the Wolves have talked to him about, the coaching staff has. So he's improved a little bit in that category. But as mentioned earlier, he was distributing the ball really well, especially early. I think he had 5 assists in the first half, and was finding open cutters, found open shooters, had a couple of interior passes where it was actually questionable. I think he could have kicked it out to a shooter and forced a pass inside, and it worked out. But Towns is really, it seems like, in these first two games with the new players and in his first game with D'Angelo Russell, he's okay with this role of distributing the ball. If you look at the Wolves' shot attempts and how they were spread out among the team, there were 5 guys who shot the ball 10 or more times in this game. One of them was Jarrett Culver, which is kind of strange, in just 21 minutes. But Karl-Anthony Towns led the team with 13 shot attempts. Russell and Malik Beasley were tied for second with 12. That's pretty good shot distribution. I don't think the Wolves want that to get too out of whack. Towns obviously got to the free throw line 12 times. Nobody else got there more than 4 times for the Wolves. But I think you want Towns and Russell to maybe shoot a couple more times, and you want Jarrett Culver to shoot a couple less times. And that's really the only thing you'd want to tweak there. This is a recipe to keep the production spread around and keep guys interested and happy, and not put too much weight on the shoulders of Towns and Russell. I don't know that that's going to happen every night, but this is a game that they were in really until midway through the fourth quarter against arguably the league's best or one of the 3 best teams, the defending champions. So that's also interesting to note. Speaking of Jarrett Culver, I'm also going to give him a stud in this game. He overall shouldn't be getting this many shot attempts, but clearly teams are going to leave him open. And if he can do damage, then he can stay on the floor. He came off the bench, kind of backed up Josh Okogie in this game, played 21 minutes, 15 points, 3 rebounds. He shot 5 of 11 from the field, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line, 3 of 4 at the free throw line, which is good for a guy who's been under 50% from the free throw line for most of the year. Had a steal and a block, only 1 turnover. It was a +3 in the plus minus column for the game. Only committed 1 foul. Solid all around game from Culver. Got to the rim a couple of times, made his first 2 open 3-point attempts, and then missed his last 2 3-point attempts. But I mean, if he goes 2 for 4 from the 3-point line and 3 for 4 at the free throw line every night, the Wolves will take that in a bench role. He was okay defensively as well, and that's going to be his, if he can hit open threes and play some defense, then he can carve out an 18 to 22 minute role in this offense or in this rotation for the Wolves. So solid game from Culver. Also, I'm going to give the third star to Juancho Hernan Gomez. He was really good in this game, only played 26 minutes to James Johnson's 28, but Hernan Gomez had 15 points, 5 rebounds, 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line, had an assist, only 1 turnover, and only committed 2 fouls in this game. Was tried to take a charge at one point that easily could have been called a charge, was called a blocking foul. Did all the things that they're going to need him to do, which is hit open shots, score when he needs to occasionally in the post, but basically hit open threes. If he can grab 5 rebounds in 26 minutes, I mean, I think he should be playing a little bit more than that. I think he should be getting 30-ish minutes a game. If he can grab 6 rebounds in 30 minutes, I think that's something the Wolves will take on a nightly basis. So good to see him have a more consistent game. He was good in his Wolves debut, but foul trouble kind of derailed him a little bit. But he was overall good in this game, and that's enough to get him a stud. I'm only going to name one dud for this game. That's Josh Okogie. He actually wasn't awful. He had 9 points, 3 rebounds, started the game, played 23 minutes, 3 of 6 from the floor. The problem was he was 3 of 3 inside the arc and 0 of 3 outside the arc. Had 3 opportunities to make open threes and couldn't knock them down. He's going to need to be able to hit corner threes at, 37 to 40%. If he's going to be able to stay on the floor with this team, he's going to get plenty of shots from the corners in this offense. And with these dynamic play with Towns and Russell dominating the middle of the floor and Malik Beasley spotting up, cutting and spotting up from outside the arc at the top of the key, above the break, Juancho Hernan Gomez is also going to get a lot of corner three opportunities, and he's made most of his. I think he's only missed 1 corner three so far with the Wolves. Okogie's just got to hit open threes. He just has to. And that's really the only reason why he gets the nod for a dud in this game. There are plenty of guys who had mixed performances. Malik Beasley was so quiet early, but ultimately still finished with 15 points. Took him 12 shots to get there. He was only 2 of 6 on 3-point attempts, 3 of 4 at the line. He did grab 4 rebounds and have 2 assists, although he turned it over 4 times. He, as mentioned at the top of the podcast, he really did force the action a couple of times when it felt like he realized he hadn't touched the ball in a while. The Wolves are going to have to remember to call some plays for him. It's in their best interest to mix in a catch and shoot play from Malik Beasley at least once a quarter. to just, if nothing else, to mix it up from Towns and Russell, but also because Beasley's a borderline, I mean, elite's maybe a too strong of a word, but he's a really good catch and shoot 3-point shooter in a relatively small sample so far in his career. And that's something that they should make sure is consistently in the offense and be running those more than a couple times a game for Beasley. D'Angelo Russell overall, we talked a lot about him already, but certainly a mixed bag from him. Not a stud, not a dud, had a good game, but had some issues defensively and with the turnovers. And then James Johnson had an awesome game, save for that bad stretch in the fourth quarter when he turned it over twice and forced a couple of shots. There was a weird mid-range jumper he forced where he never passed the ball on the possession, almost turned it over on the dribble and then forced up a mid-range shot. He had a bad three-point shot that was blocked and then turned it over after getting the ball back. But if you look at his line, he had a good game. 8 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists in only 28 minutes, 2 of 3 on 3-point attempts. His only miss was the one that got blocked by Ananobi. He did have 3 turnovers. So it's that stretch when the Wolves had a chance to pull ahead is too much to give him a stud for this game, but he was really good. I think the Wolves need to be careful about the balance between Johnson and Hernan Gomez. Johnson's a really good player in short stretches, but I don't know that he should be playing 28 minutes over Hernan Gomez's 26. But if they, you know, if the Wolves stagger the rotation, so Johnson is getting some of those wing minutes almost at the three instead of Culver or Kogi, I think that could make some sense for the Wolves. Okay, putting a bow on this one, I think overall it was a good performance from the Wolves. They were in the game against the defending champs, a team that has now won 15 straight. A solid performance. The defense obviously needs to button itself up a little bit. They gave up at least 31 in every quarter. And other than the 19-point third quarter, the Wolves' offense was really good in this game too. So clearly plenty of things to look at. The Wolves do have a much easier go of it next time out at home against the Hornets on Wednesday. The Wolves beat the Hornets way back in the second game of the season on the road. That was a game that Towns had 37 and 15 in. The Wolves were 2-0. Everybody's feeling great. But for the year, the Hornets are 17 and 36, which is just a half game better than the Wolves' 16 and 36 mark. So certainly a winnable game at home at Target Center. The Wolves will no doubt have quite the crowd on Wednesday. If you didn't see it, Russell and Towns each bought 1,000 tickets and gave them away online. They were all gone within an hour. So the Wolves hopefully will have a great turnout on Wednesday for the final game before the All-Star break over the weekend. Then the Wolves won't play until after the break. So we'll talk. We have the rest of the week to talk plenty about the All-Star break and what to look for in that, as well as the Wolves' upcoming schedule after the break. We'll be back on Wednesday to preview Wolves Hornets and talk about anything else that comes up in the news in the next 24 hours. Otherwise, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.